We're turning to the book of Genesis, and we're at chapter 22, please. Commencing to read at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things, and you might just stop and ask a question. After what things? And I think the whole answer would take you right back to chapter 12, where God, the God of glory, appeared to Abraham away over in Ur of the Chaldees and said to him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And you remember how Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, and went forth, not knowing whither he went. You see, Abraham exercised faith in God. And you remember that God came to him when Abraham got into the land of promise. God appeared suddenly and said, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. And Abraham believed God all the time. Yes, it was by faith he went forth, and he believed that God would shield him from the Canaanites and from all the enemies round about him in the land, and he was settled in his faith toward God there. And you remember when he was 99 years of age that God came to him one morning and said, thou shalt have an son out of thine own loins. And you know, Abraham fell on his face before God and laughed and said, shall he that is 100 years old have an heir? But he believed God about this. And you know, it's after all the exercise of faith, you could multiply this, after these things, after he had stepped out by faith, after he had settled it in his heart that God would be his shield, after he had believed God about the most impossible things, because at 100 years of age, it says in this book, he was not weak in faith. Neither did he consider his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And the whole chapters that come before 22 are letting you see the faith, the mighty faith, the unstaggering faith, the strong faith of Abraham. Well, that sets the scene. Because this is what it says. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And I don't like the word tempt. I'm sure our translators could have done better than that. There are several translations of this, and one of them is, God did test Abraham. It distinctly says in this book that God tempteth no man. You see, testing and tempting are two different things. We know about the tempter, and the tempter comes to tempt us to do evil. Well, God can't tempt a man like that. God tempteth no man like that. No, but God's allowed to test your faith. If you have exercised faith and you have walked by faith and you have done exploits by faith, if your faith has been exercised in God, then God will come to test your faith. That goes for all of us. There's another translation that says, after these things God did prove Abraham's faith. I think that's the story. Now, it's really the trial of his faith that's on now, isn't it? Yes, by faith he went forth. By faith he hid behind the shield and smiled. By faith he was absolutely sure that Pharaoh would have a son and he would have an heir. Now his faith is being tested, is being proved. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, just one word. And it was in the middle of the night, remember. It was one of the night scenes of Scripture. How do I know that? I know it by this. God said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for the burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. So it all happened in the middle of the night. Happened in an old Bedouin tent. Because Abraham, remember, had the tent and moved about with it too. It was a tent made of goatskins. And that makes it very dark inside. And I think that Abraham may be lying up in the corner, covered with goatskins, and it is the night time. And there's a voice in the dark. And the voice just says, Abraham. And the big man in the corner under the skin said, here I am. Tells me a whole lot of things, but we'll come to them in a moment or two. You know, Abraham's a great character. I think that sometime you should have a look at the New Testament. Wonder whose name you think is mentioned most in the New Testament. It was Paul, there's no question at all about it. Wonder whose name you think is next. It was Peter, just a few behind Paul. Who's third? John the Baptist. All New Testament characters. Who's fourth? Abraham. That's strange, you know. You will find Abraham's name in the New Testament 64 times. Mighty character. So there's things to learn. So God comes in the middle of the night. He's going to prove this big man's faith. He's going to try his faith. Yes, he's going to test it. And God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And then God spake. Now watch the wording carefully here in verse 2. God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. If you've got a good Bible, the second time you find the word son, it's in italics. Because what God actually said was, take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. This is one of the night scenes of Scripture, you know, and there are many of them. In fact, I had planned some time back to deal with night scenes for a while. Jacob sleeping and dreaming at Bethel. David fleeing before Absalom. Nehemiah in the middle of the night visiting the walls. Oh, there are so many of them, we can't go into them just now. But I don't want to go on with the story of Abraham and Isaac this morning, just as it is. I know the true interpretation of the story is that Abraham stands out as the servant of God. We've been through this in this meeting. And you see, I can see that this big man as the servant of God, his mind and heart and soul was tuned into heaven all the time. Just like the servant looks towards her mistress, his eyes were always towards God. And even in the middle of the night when God says, Abraham, you know, there are so great aspirations in his soul to serve the Lord that he answered immediately. Wonder do we hear when God speaks? You'll find there were not only aspirations after service. You'll find the next morning, early in the morning. Some of us may, we would lie on maybe and think it over and wonder about it and go around and see John so-and-so and all the rest of it. Not a bit of them. Early in the morning. He saddled the ass and clave the wood. Oh, I can see him down on one knee with the axe claving the wood for the burnt offering. There is no hesitation. You see, there were aspirations after service and preparation for service. And then he set his face as a flint to go through with it. Yes, he staggered not. He believed as he went up the hill that the God who had given him Isaac could bring him back from the dead. That's the faith that God was looking for. You can see his aspirations after service, his preparation for service, his determination in service. You can see a separation to service. The lads and the ass are out of the story now. Get you back to that. You can't come with me up this hill. Tarry ye here while I go yonder. And there was dedication to service. He put his all on the altar. I don't want to take the true interpretation. I want to take an application. And I want to take an application of this phrase. Take now thine only Isaac whom thou lovest. And I want to go through the scriptures this morning and find things that people loved. And I want to go through the scriptures and find things that people still love. Things that people love more than they love God. And I want to apply this as if God came into the meeting and talked to you and I about the things we love better than God. And we maybe will hear him saying, take now thine only Isaac whom thou lovest. Yes, it's a mighty application, I know. But think for a moment or two about Demas. He was a traveling, preaching companion with Paul. And you know, as this young man went round with Paul and went into the cities, you know, he saw a lot of the world, because you can't go to Corinth in those days without seeing everything the world had to offer. And you'll find out that it says here, Paul writing to Timothy says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. This was his only Isaac. This is the thing he loved. That's the application, of course. And you know, I don't know what part of this present world he loves. You've got to be careful with the word world. Because it says in John 3:16, God so loved the world. But the word world there is a word for people, for sinners. God loved the world of sinners lost. We need to love sinners. Oh, but the word world that demons loved is not people. It's the world systems. You know, there's a whole lot of things. There's the pleasures of the world. They belong to the world system. Let me tell you that booze belongs to the world system. Let me tell you that money making belongs to the world system. Let me tell you that craving after fame belongs to the world system. Let me tell you that angling after power belongs to the world system. I don't know which one he loved most. I don't know. I can't tell. It only tells me that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What part of it did he get his soul entwined with? I think as he was going round with Paul, he saw things. And he began to set his affection on things below, not on things above. And he began to love some part or parts of this world system. And I believe while this was going on in his heart, God came again and again at night and said, "Take now thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him up." I don't think he obeyed God. I don't think he did. This, I think that you can see the application. Wonder, is there some one of us here this morning and our hearts we're beginning to get taken up with some part of this world system. And it's going to ruin you, you know. And maybe God will come in the morning meeting and say, "Take now thine only Isaac and get rid of it." Because I think that everybody here knows the story of Peter denying the Lord before the crucifixion. And then after the resurrection, the Lord came on resurrection morning. He met Mary Magdalene first. That was great, and that settled. Then he went to find Peter, who was noised abroad that day, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And what a thrill, and what a blessing this must have been to him. The Lord came and hugged him and restored him. And then the Lord told the disciples, "Go to Galilee and I'll meet you there." And you know, there were seven of them went to the shore of Galilee, and they're walking up and down in the sand, and they're waiting for the Lord to come, and it didn't come quick enough for Peter. Some people, you know, get impatient with the Lord. And then he took one of those impulsive moods of his. He looked round at the other six. He says, "I'm going back to the fishing." That was wrong, you know. He had been called away from that, you know. Oh, 3.5 years before this, the Lord had come along the shore and said, "Leave the boat and the fish and the nets and the sea and follow me." And he did, you know. But he's going back now. He took the others with him. And you know, they toiled all night and caught nothing, no wonder. He's gone back to the business. He's getting twined in the business. Was this his only Isaac? Is this the thing he left last for the Lord? Is this the thing he's gone back to? You know, the Lord had the fire and the fish and the bread and all ready, and they dined, and then he calmly looked into Peter's eyes and said, "Lovest thou me more than these touchy moments. All the disciples were round. Somebody said it could have meant that the Lord said, "Lovest thou me more than these disciples love me?" And I don't think the Lord balanced love with love like that. Or he could have said, "Lovest thou me more than you love these disciples?" And I don't think he said that. I think he just looked them in the face, and he looked at the boats, and he looked at the fish, and he looked at the sea and the nets. He says, "No, you just tell me now. You love me more than this business." Because I believe that was his only Isaac. And he needed to put him on the altar that day. And I think he did. Never went back again. I wonder, is there somebody here this morning, bless you, you're getting so much taken up with business and money making that you're getting away from the Lord? You'll need to put it on the altar, dear. It'll wreck you. That's what it'll do with you. I'll tell you, it'll do it. Take now thine only Isaac. If the business is beginning to run you instead of you running it, it's time you had it on the altar. Yes, it's a mighty application, you know. Take now. Yes, I think that it's there, all right. Might be just someone here and you're getting really caught up in business. Do you remember that Paul said on one occasion to the saints at Rome? And that's really a mighty phrase, the saints at Rome, but it's there all right. After telling them all the things that God had done for them, how that they were predestined before the foundation of the world, how that they were called, how that they were justified by faith, how that they were heading for glory and most surely would be there. He said, "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Thoughts are coming around to Genesis 22, isn't it? You see, I've got to say this. There are some people who love their bodies more than they love the Lord. Yes, I think that Absalom was one who loved his beauty more than he loved the Lord. He had a great face, and he had a great head of hair. If you like to go back and look at it, we're not taking time. And he was reckoned to be the most beautiful in Israel, and he thought he knew it. And I think he loved his face and loved his hair. I don't come into this category because I've neither face nor hair. So, and there's a good lot of you with me, so it doesn't make a matter. Maybe one or two of you are tempted. Jezebel was one who thought a lot of her face. She painted her face. And you know, there are men who love their hands, men who love their shoulders, men who love their legs, their feet, and all the rest of it. And you know, it is possible that this could be somebody's only Isaac. That you thought to love yourself more than you love the Lord. And you're so afraid, you know, of doing anything that would disturb you. It's a pity of you. Somebody said something to me about walking the street this morning, and I said, "Well, I think they're down the Amazon today with Tom and Ethel. They're our old Indians. Just saved, you know. Walking through the bush this morning,
for hours and hours and hours. To love the Lord.
I don't think we should roll ourselves up in cotton wool too much, you know. If that's your only Isaac, then make sure you put Isaac on the altar this morning. We would need to leave this house this day knowing in our hearts and soul, mind, that there is no Isaac in our lives, no love of the world, no love of the business, and no love of ourselves, or no other love that cannot be named this morning, that we must love the Lord supreme above everything else. And everything else must be put on the altar for His sake.